coming to make me. He made his man from having him make me. He made his man from rich soil, fertile soil. And the expression Hallelujah is for the people of that time, their language. Hallelujah means warm. You get a lot of life, a lot of fertility in the soil, and it's hotter than the soil without fertility. You who work the soil, you know that, right? You put your hand in rich soil and fill it. Then put it in sand. Sand is cooler. Yeah. Put it in sand, it's all cooler. Sand is all cooler. The more fertile soil is warmer. Hallelujah means noon. And this noon is a play on, it might be offensive to your smell. So some translators say it's from stinky mud. They translate from stinky mud. That's not an exact translation. That's not a fair, ain't nothing necessarily stinky. But it just says that it's warm, it has heat, and it's something that you might despise. But out of that comes the possibility for your life in the future. Isn't it wonderful? Oh, it's wonderful. Yes. So, what gives up all of that humus for the life to be created out of? The sun. And the sun appeared to ancient man to rise up really from the bowels of the earth. The ancient man was not scientific. So he didn't know where the sun was coming up from. Only thing he saw was coming up. And he now that sea, it looked like it dripped some of his fire back into the water. So he thought it was coming out of the water if he was at sea. Or if he was on an ocean way, then the ocean was the east. When it rose out of the ocean, he thought the sun was actually rising up out of the water. And it appears actually to be dropping some of this fire back into the water. I've seen it. It doesn't come up clean and clear. I mean clear of the water. When it rises up, you see beneath the sun the illumination that the sun is look like dripping some of this fire down into the water just coming up. So God has made the rising of the sun on ocean fronts or lake fronts or things like that to appear to man that it's actually coming up out of the water. And if the land is open, it appears that it's coming up out of the earth itself, that the sun is actually coming up out of earth. If the land is not open like our city land, it looks like it's just flying across the sky. In any explanation without science, it's a spooky thing, isn't it? Yes! Only science took the spook out of it. And we know now that it's just an inanimate body of fire, of burning material. We know that now, but ancient man did not. First man did not. He was in the Guru Vedas, the oppressive doctrine. And he was being formed. And God formed him to believe that a God is doing this, and this is a sign to me that I have to read. So how should I read this, my Lord? He doesn't know his law, he doesn't know science either. But he believes in his law. He knows that something did it all. How am I to read this, my Lord? He finally comes to read it as God intended for him to read it. That's the potential of the earth rising up out of the earth. Then the potential of the earth comes up out of the earth to light the earth. Now look at your earth, your body. You also need a sun to rise in your body, in the dead matter of your body. And once your potential rises up and free itself from the bowels of your earth, your personal body, it will light your world. Yes, it was a sign that God gave ancient man. Yes. And then the language becomes confused in time. And they take the sun to be God. Well, we went a long way from the battle line, didn't we? We got dressed down in the valley and canyons and round hills and everything. But now we got to get back on the direct line to the target. That'll get a little help from the grass at the end of the So I may say then that the Khalifa can be metaphorically depicted as the sun, couldn't it? Yes. metaphorically, picture, or the picture, as a sign. Are classical prophets of God. You know, we talk about Adam. We have the history, man's history, bear witnessing to certain developments in the life of religious people. And we can go back to a time when religion for man was what modern world came to call heathenism, paganism, idol worship. I believe that paganism, or what we call paganism, heathenism, idol worship, I believe that this represents a decline in religion. I believe that originally man did have what we may call, for want of a better term, primitive religion. But his primitive religion was not a corrupt thing like we find in much of paganism or heathenism. I believe that his religion was the best that he could come about in his then human condition and circumstance. And I believe that he saw, as we just explained earlier, things in the environment as messengers themselves of the God behind it all. He saw these things as messengers. The sun as a messenger, giving him a message. The tree, the particular tree that attracted him, his attention more than others. As a messenger, giving him a message. Now, it's interesting to me to note that in some languages, S-U-N, the sun outside, is neutral, or neuter-gender. In some languages, it's masculine. In some languages, it's feminine. Now, if my reasoning that I established earlier is correct, that the sun may be used as a sign or symbol of Khalifa, the potential that's in us, that once it's freed or released, it becomes the light of our world. If I'm right correcting that, then look how well this language problem supports what I'm saying. They can't give a gender to the sun. Maybe one language says it's a she, another language says it's a he, another language says it's neuter. Isn't it the same problem we have with our own selves? The sex problem we have? We can decide whether we should be man or woman, female or male, or unisex or what. But in our potential, we are both. And the best ruler, as I said earlier, he must have both in him. Sensitivities are both in him. In order to be a good ruler. Now, you know, that takes a lot of the macho out of a man, doesn't it? Well, look at your body. If you're a normal man, come up naturally, normally, that right muscle is a little stronger than that left one. So actually, you have a female side and a male side. But the scientists say most of your best health for your intellect comes from this side, not from this side. Isn't that what they say? So the weaker side physically and the stronger side when it comes to intellectual ingenuity. And you know, the beginning of the internet for Adam didn't come until he had a wife. Hey, I'm talking straight, man. Actual fact. Of history, of language, of scholar, of scripture. Yeah, yeah. He didn't even know he had eyes until he got a wife. Yeah, but that wife calls his eyes, his sight caused him to lose his sight. No, he just has to have a light in which direct, so he can wake up and have more energy for another day. And a better day. So each time he went to sleep and he woke up better, more prepared for the day. Better prepared for the day. And in Islam, the wife wasn't the cause of it. The wife ain't a partner with the serpent in Islam. The serpent is acting by himself. And he is deceiving both the male and the female. He is causing a problem for both of them, and the woman is not helping him. She's not his partner. And in Islam, understand that, Baptist brother, who's preaching Islam now. Now, the point I want to make, and I'm going to stretch this time, I'm out of here. You got to watch this time. You know, when it comes to this, I don't mind missing a meal. If I have to, it's 3:15. Inshallah, we'll step it up. 3:20 almost, going on 3:20. Yes. Now, the point that I want to make here is this, that religion for man in the first stage, religion has taken man for two stages, one hand, second hand. Religion for man in the first stage was man in the hand of God that represents the natural possibilities before revelation. You understand? You understand what I'm saying? That should be very clear. Now, religion for us begins with Adam, the first man, and the first man with us means the beginning of the strain in the intellect for enlightenment. So actually, beginning of religion for us is the beginning of revealed religion. And you reveal to Adam, right? Yes, God revealed to Adam. Yes. if you understand it, God revealed to Adam. Because God says, when I have breathed into him of my spirit, that means the gift of inspiration, divine inspiration, revelation. And God said, and he came upon a word and he repented. The word was the word of the revelation. And he repented for his wrong. And God accepted his repentance. So he's not the man of sin, he's the man of human nature. He's capable of making errors, he's capable of sinning, but that's what God created him for. God created him to learn by experience. And to grow by experience. To not to repeat the mistakes he makes, but to learn from them so he doesn't make them in the future and be prepared to perhaps avoid even bigger obstacles in the future because he already met with a smaller one that alerted him better or alerted him more, you see? So if we see it as a learning process, we see man's, what they call a weakness in man, we see it as a component of his strength. If we didn't have the capacity to err, along with the capacity to want to go be perfect, we wouldn't progress. The angels have only one capacity, the capacity to be perfect. They don't have the capacity to err, to make error. But it wasn't the angels that God said he put a degree over man. It was the Khalifa that he said he made a degree over the angels. Oh, I wouldn't exchange this human nature for nothing in here. For nothing on earth or in heaven. Not even for Allah. Now, I know that might disappoint you. It's not in my nature to want to be Allah. And I know Allah is the biggest, Allah is the best, everything. But it's not in my nature to want to be Allah. The most attractive place for me is the place of human life and possibilities. Human life and human possibilities. That's the most attractive place to me. It's not in my nature. Not that I understand God in the world. Not in my nature to even want to approach in any small degree being God. No. Nobody could have started in that direction but a fool. Took a fool to start in that direction. A fool in wisdom and reveal. Yes, had to be a fool in reveal to start in that direction. Unimaginable. Can you imagine? And just the hint of it is so precious, it almost wipes out my existence. Yes. To be an angel? No. I've been created for adventure. An angel never had any adventure. Angels just had errors to run. God created me to love adventure. Yes. So let us not just hear the word religion and not know that there are two major progressions for religion. One is the progression for the man limited to five senses, analysis or perception of things, including religion. That's one progression. The second progression is the sixth possibility for man. The sixth possibility for man is revelation. Revelation made possible for him because God has created him with another sense, intuitive sense. An intuitive sense. A sense that brings all the five senses together and it acts as one. All senses in him come together, as a philosopher has said, Western philosophy. All senses come together in him to function or perform as one sense. And you know, they say when a physical man or woman loses maybe a left arm or a left eye, what was in that goes there, it shifts its power that it has to the other one, and the other one, the remaining organ or limb becomes stronger. Huh? This is what they say they have found discovered. Now, I think that when all of those five die, or become as dead, when we say, oh, Allah God, I have strained to find a way that my five senses, they have failed me. So I dismiss every one of them. I don't trust any of them. God, wherever you are, die. Those five senses then become one sense. You put them down, and nature brings them all together, and they become one sense. And then you know anything, you have an experience that you never had before. It's happening. It's happening to me. I'm seeing things when I sleep. I'm getting messages while I sleep. I wake up and the narration continues. Now that's some heavy information there. It's not heavy now. If it stops when you wake up, that's one thing. But if it continues after waking up, it continues. Oh. Ever living life. It has been turned on to not to go off. So you wake up from sleep and it keeps on without breaking its line of communication. No break in the communication. Continuous, pure, easy, free flow communication. Just ran left off, it left off with and she. And you woke up, it continued right from she. It starts from T, whatever part of T. No break in the communication. That's what happens to prophets, messengers of God. They get that kind of communication from God. When they become as black stone, the matter has died to its center and become as a black stone, bitter than human soul. But so rigid, so rigid. Solid. And on that solid foundation comes the understanding. Now we're going to get to another hard metal before we leave here, I hope. And it ain't going to be a stone, the black stone. It's going to be another. Yes.
Praise be to God.
Now, if we can understand that then, we should be aware of the tendency to become heathen or pagan, prehistory man, pre-practical man, in our religious makeup. There's a tendency. Don't think that's in the past. That dominance is in the past. We're not dominated anymore by that kind of world. But the people are still here. We still have people who are in that first stage of this. They're in religion not to open their minds up. They're in religion not to see their intellect grow. They're in the religion just to feel good and be free from fear and have hope that they're going to have another life after this one. That's all they're in religion for. They're in religion in the first stage. Those who are in religion in the second stage, they're in religion to improve the condition and state and function efficiency of their intellect, their mind. And you find most religions, they devote some of their money to having their own schools, don't they?
Right.
And it's a pity we don't have stronger schools. Inshallah, we're going to get there. So much for that. And I think we're again digressed, isn't it? Good balance back, you know. Because we all the way to the promised land. And I don't think they got to the promised land. I don't even know if they got there yet, but we know it took a whole lot of battles, didn't it? Yeah, you read the scriptures, a lot of battles fought trying to get to the promised land. So much for that. Now let us come. Now, being in on the target now. What is the key role for man if he is to be successful with his life and responsibilities on this earth? What is his key role? Khalifa. Khalifa. That's the key role. The Quran is the key. And Fatiha is the first of the opening. And Fatiha is a hint to key. And God doesn't call the Fatiha the key, but he gives it a title or meaning that hints to, alludes to key. Then he says in the contents of the Quran that the whole and Fatiha is, that the Fatiha in its entirety, is a capsule of. Now this is a scholar speaking, not me. The best of the scholars in Islam, they say that the Al-Fatiha contains the whole Quran. In Al-Fatiha is the whole Quran, not in its narration, but in its purpose, and in its power. That's why you can read only Al-Fatiha in your prayer. Because the Al-Fatiha in its essence, is the essence of the whole Quran. This is how they did it, and it's correct, as I understand it. I witness. See, it's correct without me witnessing. But I just want you to know that I witness too. God has blessed me to be a witness. Yes. Now, excuse me. He says in the Quran are keys, many keys. To what? To the skies, the heavens. Well, keys. Say, with Allah are the keys. This is Quran. And if you understand it, the keys are access to the keys made possible by revelation. So with the Quran, we can have access to the keys for the skies and earth. And with those keys, then we unlock the treasure. And then they render their yield to us. Yeah. I'd like to talk more on each of these things, but at the same time, I have to keep going. Now, so here If we understand it, the Quran and Muhammad belong together. The words and the purpose and God's purpose on earth in man's life belong together, don't they? They must be reconciled. They must be brought together so that man and the Word of God, which is also the Spirit of God, the inspiration of God, come together in one and then give to mankind, female and male, all nations, give that to them, then that word in man, in a body, in a material body, will have the same effect on our possibilities for our life, on possibilities for our life, that the sun has on the dead earth for the possibilities of life on earth. And we see what the sun has done in time. It has just fed through life all over. Life from the lowest level to the highest as man, huh? Most complex as man. Now, we can recreate that. We can have another creation then. Yeah. If this the meaning is correct, or this translation is correct, then we, this commentary I may say, if it is correct, then we can have another life then. For certain lower level on the plane of authority may also be qualified by the people to pass the order to higher, right? So actually it can go up, it can go south, it can go down, delegating authority. Now you know, say, well, should anybody give orders to the President of the United States? No, not directly. Indirectly, yes. President has, he has advisors, and some of them may see him going in the right, wrong direction. They will come with the logic, or with the information, correct information. They will inform him, and he would have to change his idea or change his decision and come up with something else, right? So here we have authority coming from a lower level to a higher authority in man's society. And this really speaks for a great democracy. When a man up high can't take correction from a man beneath him, he's not ready for the ideal democracy. That's right. But the man, Allahu Akbar, the man on the lower level, he should be sophisticated enough, that's right, to know that you're not to aggravate this man.
That's right.
When you come to it.
That's right.
So after all, he's a bigger grinding wheel than you are.
That's right.
And he might just hide all the evidence and grind you to power.
Right.
To feed you right on out of the government.
That's right.
It is this might not be discovered for 5 or 6 generations. You know what I'm saying? We have to be intelligent.
That's right.
And we have to be circumspect. Circumspect means know what's happening all around, not just where you are. That's circumspect. Mm-hmm. So the focus is on the individual. But we don't believe that the many are to lead the few. The few are to lead the many. And the many are to be a kind of gauge, or a kind of monitor for the few to stay, to get indication when they are getting off track. Because after all, what you're doing is serving the group. You're serving not yourself and not only the few, you're serving the many, right? So the signal for your direction, when you can't get it on your own from knowledgeable sources, Quran and the life of the prophets, are the people themselves. The people themselves, God will direct the leaders and caution the leaders through the people themselves, the majority. So when you see something affecting them and they ain't pleased with it, question yourself if you are administering to them. If they are not happy, if they are not pleased with you, question yourself if you are administering to them. Because Allah will speak to you through the people. He will speak to you through himself, from himself, his word. He will speak to you from the prophet, and he will speak to you from the people. Remember what the prophet told us? He told them to take advice. To take advice, or to seek advice, And
the question was, from whom? The Prophet said, from Allah, right?
And his messenger.
And from those that you charge with authority or responsibility,
that you're a leader,
you're a leader
and authority,
those are authority. And he says, also from your
Amma,
and it means your constituents. You are in the position of a leader, you have people influenced by you and your leadership, they are your constituents, seek advice from them too. That doesn't mean just go to them and say, congregation, what do you think about this? Yes, you're supposed to do that when it's necessary. But it means also you're supposed to monitor their state. And when you see their state, something not pleased or unrest, it should make you question what you're doing. And they will be a signal to you to get back on the right track or to come away from something you got involved in, etc. So this is how it works. The whole, all important parts work together for the success of are included in the shaping and promoting or directing of the interest of the community. That makes for true democracy. As a philosopher, we may go a little bit further with this idea now and say that even though, because philosophical thought, it doesn't only act or make conclusions upon what is established, but it makes conclusions of what is alluded upon what it even alluded to. Or what is possible, maybe, even in the hereafter, though it be in the hereafter, that far away. Now, since Allah, even though He favored just a few of us to realize so much of that capacity and that potential He's given us, that we're able to rise to the top, He has deposited it in every single one of us. Every single one of us has it. We have it, or he or she has it. Now, the idea for the society then must acknowledge that. So in the idea, the social idea, or the political idea, whatever we want to call it, that we have to give us a sense of perception of our society, how it should operate, that language should also say that each person, male and female, though they don't express or manifest the ability that God deposited in every human being, the law, the land, the authority of this land, the law, the community, the authority of this community, recognizes each and every person as being equal to the top person in the society. Based upon what God intended for you, you're equal. So I'm not to see any person, male or female, no matter how less learned they are than I am, or no matter how bad their behavior, I'm not to see them as animals, or as beasts of burden, that I'm to take and put all the physical burden on, make it do all the dirty things, take the broom, sweep the broom. I'm supposed to be worried about his state, and I'm supposed to be trying to come up with ideas to reach his intellect, to turn his intellect on. So we never give up on any member of our society. The right of every member is the same right that each of us may claim. So we are to treat them with respect, and if we see them in a bad condition, we are not to put them in an oppressive situation where they can never come out of it, where they think that God intended for them to do nothing but sweep up the trash at the end of the day, or wash the pots, the pans at the end of the day. No, we're supposed to be hurt by that brother's situation, by him being locked into a groove or a pattern like that to hurt us, and we should be trying to reach his intellect to let him know that greater things await you, brother. Allah means much more than this for you. You know, we should have this kind of compassion on the people. And if we have that kind of appreciation for each individual person on an equal level with the best of us, and we have that interest in freeing them for greater possibilities in their life, then we are really doing the job of Khalifa. We are really doing the job of Khalifa. It won't be long if we're going to close down. Now, so the community interest is bigger than the individual interest. The individual possibility works with the community, or with the environment and the community, to bring the environment and the community to its better future. You see? But the individual can't do it alone. The individual can't go nowhere without community interest. Because the community interest is the second component. If individual interest, that's number one component. In the individual interest, inherently, is the community possibility. Are you reading me clearly? Yes. In the individual himself, if he has inherently, naturally, put in him by his creator, the possibility for the community future. So he is like the seed then, right? And the seed has to be planted in the field. The field must be the environment or the context for his future possibility. So if we don't alert him and awaken him or place him in community interest, he has not much of a future. So we have to do two things. We have to, as clear as we possibly can, perceive the individual as Allah intended for him to be perceived in his concept. And then perceive the community interest as best we can, based upon Quran and the life of our Prophet. Conceive the interest, and then bring the two to be reconciled. Say, brother, you are a possibility for great things. You really are all the future of the earth. In a seed form. But the seed must be placed in the earth. And the earth will see your seed. Eh? Isn't that what happened? And the sun spirited, give spirit to that seed. Sun spirit to that seed, give a spirit for it. Spirit to it. Energizes it. And also supplies it with another form of energy. They call it chlorophyll, is that? Chlorophyll. It's green, isn't it? Yes, green. Growth. Every green is growth, you see. So, and we know that this is the way the tree grows, isn't it? By the sun having a chemical effect on the leaves, and the leaves feeding the trees. And the roots. Roots taking up water and stuff, see, but also carbon. The tree is mostly carbon, isn't it? The body is mostly carbon. So that carbon is mostly coming from the leaves, if I'm correct, if I know my science correctly, right? Comes from that chemical process that's produced by the sun effect on the leaves that makes them green, but also makes them take in energy. Chlorophyll, I believe, is called. Chlorophyll. But also the chlorophyll enables them to take on, bring about the process of the changing that energy into carbon. Carbon. The wood, photosynthesis, that's what they call it, photosynthesis process, photosynthesis. A big word. I'm trying to avoid those big words, but yeah, that's the process. But that's how the tree grows, not just from the roots, but also from the leaves. The leaves breathe and receive energy from the sun. They're taking in the air, carbon dioxide, but it has the same meaning, huh? One oxygen. It's taken in and also take feeding from the sunlight by the process of photosynthesis. Yes. And that's how the tree is able to get that big body, a big strong body. All plants must have leaves or some shoot to come out that will receive food from the sun, right? If they don't, they can't grow. You know, the mushroom, it grows in the dark, but look, it looks like it's a womb baby to me. It doesn't look like a baby out of the womb to me, it looks like a womb baby to me. I don't want to be a mushroom, I'll tell you that. Yes. Now, in perceiving the society, the interest of the society, it's very simple. What is the interest of our society? The interest is to perceive ourselves first as social creatures. Then Allah tells us over and over again that He made us as plants. Plants also have male and female. They generate and they grow together. That's how they grow best. When you put certain grass to itself and keep other grasses out, that grass thrives best, lives best. So even the plant life thrives best when it congregates best. When it congregates, or when it hangs out together. When they hang out together, they thrive best. If they get all mixed up with each other, they find weeds and everything killing and strangling their lives, right? They find foreign life affecting their life negatively. But when they grow together, they grow so nice together. If you put foreign plants as close as you put some plants of the same life form, you will not be able to get the abundance of growth that you'll get if you let those plants grow just for themselves. So that's what Allah is telling us. The light should be with the light. And certainly the corrupt should not be mixed all in with the non-corrupt. If we're clean and decent, we don't want to have all the undecent people that's mixed all in among us. In fact, if I could, I'd have them sitting in a certain spot over there. But we can't. God has given us no authority, especially from the prophets, is that we don't have authority to look in their hearts and minds and determine the value of them. Allah knows their value. So we can't judge that. We may take a brother who drinks and send him over there with the corrupt. And that brother who drinks may be in heaven a little higher than us and we are resurrected. We don't know. We don't know. You know, maybe the drinking that you did with Islamic science was made you a bigger drunk than he is, you know. So you don't know. He may be on a higher plane in the heaven than you. So it's hard for us to do that. But sometimes I would like to see a good situation where all the corrupt, I know they're over there, you know. I just move over there, I can talk right here. When I talk over there, I have something for him to say, and you go over there, I could be to address them knowing that they're over there, you know. But we can't do that. Now, what do we have to see first? That Islam is a religion that focuses the light on man and shows him, firstly, principally, as a social creature. That God intended for him to be a social creature, to not to be satisfied being an island, or on an island all to himself, that he must mate and become bigger social units, family, tribe, and then embrace, till you embrace the whole community of man on this earth, and become, see yourself as a member in one family with all people. So man is a social creature. Man is a social creature, and the spirit of the Quran is what? The spirit of the Quran is social inspiration. Social inspiration. It feeds our social aspirations. This word social is bigger than we think it is. By social, we don't mean just associating with each other physically, but our dependency on each other as members of a world of a society. We want to keep the focus on the community, the Muslim community right now. As members of the Muslim community, our dependency on each other brings us together. And our love for each other brings us together. So here we have a love for each other that brings us together, and a dependency on each other that brings us together. And pretty soon, we find that the teacher of the school has to be tied up full time in doing that. But there's also a need to have business growing in the community. So there's a business person feeding business, taking care of business. People keep expanding, it grows. And as it grows, there's more demand for more things to take care of the needs of this growing people, right? There's a home, he can have the regulation of the home in the parent. He can have the regulation of the economy of the family in the parent. He can have the regulation of the morals in the parent, the laws that discipline the family, be in the parent. Everything can be in the parent. That's a small unit. He can manage that. But when it extends and involves hundreds of families, he can't manage that. So he can go out and, if nobody but him and his family, he can go out, send, take his sons out with him, they're able to children with him, go out, plow the field, bring in his own food, don't need nobody to regulate the economy for him. Yeah? Take care of that. But when we multiply in the social unit, it's the social unit that's getting bigger. The social unit gets bigger and brings in demand for industry. For more sophisticated government, more complex government ideas, and everything else we can think of, there's not one other single influence responsible for the growth and development of society, other than the social person or the social influence. Am I correct? Yes, you think about it. Science will tell us these things, but think about it. But look, now, go back to the sun as a symbol. The sun, I said earlier, that it's the principle behind all the changes and weather and the growth and everything, isn't it? So here you have now me saying that the social interest, the social principle, is the influence behind all the other growth and possibilities. Can't we then say the sun is also a symbol of man as a social unit? And the Khalifa is male and female, and the purpose of female, male and female, is to have generations. So that's the social principle. So the Khalifa is the social principle. He is the son. He is just a social principle. And now, we're talking about religion, how religion offers support to the community, for community empowerment. Community empowerment. And what it offers also for economic dignity. But I would say the motivation for economic dignity in the plan of God is first social dignity. Social dignity. And what I've established to you over these this long time that I've been talking is a real interest in the social dignity, the social honor. God says that he has created everything in honorable pairs. Translated also, noble pairs. Nobility means a lot to men of intellect, to women of intellect. So he says he has created everything in noble pairs. And then Allah says he has made honorable or noble every child of Adam. You see why now? I mean, you see the understanding of that now? Because they are inherently the Khalifa. So he made honorable and noble every son or every child of Adam, both male and female. Can't make them separate. So male and female, when the two come together, they represent the social interest in this language. The social interest. Right? The beginning of the social interest. And God says that he made us how? In pairs. You know what he said? So this is proof and revelation that the social interest is our nature. So he made us in pairs. He said, and then he goes to take away that macho insanity. He says that he made you one from another. Right. After he said he made you from one person, then he comes back and he says he made you one from another. Meaning a male is made from a female, and a female is made from a male. Right. Made you one from another. The social principle, the social interest, the social principle. The beginning of the great construction of this democracy that have outlived every other form of democracy, every other form of government till now, and is really a kind of beacon light for the rest of the world. Right now, it's serving as that, right? We have other nations coming under pressure to bring their democracy, or to come accept democracy, or to bring their democracies up so that their democracies won't shame man on this earth. Not that we are satisfied with this democracy. Doesn't mean that at all. But I'm just pointing to that. And the beginning, I repeat, of this movement, the movement to construct this great idea of democracy, started with what? The social principle. You who study the history, you know. Started with the social principle. Man identified as a social creature by nature. Inherently, he's a social creature, not a political creature. Inherently, he's a social creature. And it's his social interest that solicits or requisitions the political establishment and every other establishment. So if we neglect the social life, the social interest, the social dignity of our community, of our people, we are aborting all of those other great possibilities, aren't we? Because the first womb is the social interest. It's going to give birth to all the others. So if we don't attend the first womb, the first mother, look what's going to happen. So I think I'm giving you keys for making your community a progressive, productive, and progressive community. Now maybe I'm dreaming and I'm not in the world of reality myself. But I don't think so. You all have to wake me up if I'm dreaming. So I think I'm awake. So if I'm awake and you say I'm awake, then don't hear what I'm saying and go home and rest on it like you rest on a good dinner that you're going to pass most of it out the night of tomorrow if your system is regulated. Yes, but don't do that. If you do that, you find something going out, be a scientist. Pick that crap up, man, and get a microscope. And see what came out in that I just digested from the lamb last night. I didn't mean for all of it to go out that way. Maybe you discover something in there for agriculture. What I told you is simple. I told the brothers that I was coming down. I said it shouldn't be many questions, but I think because my plan is to make it so clear, no one will have a question. So that's what I tried to do. And I brought you to the point where I wanted to bring you. And I can say what I want to say now, away from the subject, but yet in connection with the subject, with no difficulty whatsoever. We must be different. We can't go on being just like we used to be in the past.
That's right.
We must be different from the majority of the African American people. We must not follow in their patterns of behavior. We must not follow in their moral behavior. We must not follow in their social behavior. We must not follow them in their business behavior.
That's right.
We must take on a new business behavior, and we must demand that we have business people in our community that can supply us our needs.
That's right.
Our grocery needs, our clothing needs, all of our needs. We should put pressure on them. Say, brother, you qualify. Brother, you have a bag. Brother, you have so much education. Brother, why don't you go on back to school and complete that education? Or why don't you take the education you got now and go get some specific knowledge in this particular area? We think you can be a good grocery store operator. We think you can be a good banker, a good financier. Let us put pressure on our people that have promise, that tell us by their qualifications that they can do more for us than they're doing. Let's tell them that you have an obligation to produce, not just for yourself, brother. Your interest is community. Allah created you for community interest. The community is a social entity by its nature that God gave it. And God created you, brother, to contribute something to your community, to provide for your community. We are supposed to be providers. To provide, you must have something. So that means you have to own something. You got to be responsible for something, or own something. You have to make it produce and come up with the supplies or the provisions that the community must depend on. We can start with simple things, with easy things. Start where we can start. I don't believe in going after the impossibility and stepping over the possibility. That's stupid. But a lot of our degree people will do just that.
That's right.
You come up with a simple vision, and they'll make it so damn complicated. Excuse the language. They'll make you go home and you have locked bowels for 2 weeks.
Go ahead, Father.
Say, hell, what happened to the beautiful idea we had? But we don't want that. Yeah. So this world, they give our people practical knowledge, but they give them so much imagination and theory and dreams in terms of where they can go individually. So they forget to put the emphasis first on the tools that they have to use to get where they want to go. And they put all attention on the mirror looking at the picture, how I'm going to look when I get there. And they can never get there because they can't stop looking at themselves, what they're going to be when they get there. Support African American business. And start first, if you're a Muslim, with your own Muslim brother. Support your African American Muslim brother's business. And if there are any non-African American Muslim brothers in your congregation, make no distinction between them. They're just like the black ones. They're in your congregation. Once a brother is in our neighborhood or in our congregation, no color matters at all. He's with us. The brotherhood of Islam is more powerful than the brotherhood of blood, of race. So you make no distinction if he's in your community. But if he's outside of your community, why help the Jengalese? And no such thing as Jengalese. Don't look it up, it ain't even a dictionary. Why help the Jengalese Muslim community? And you belong to the Africanese. The African American Muslim community. You belong to the African American Muslim community. Is your community so strong and so solid that it can now give aid to the Jengalese community? Or do you need aid? You need aid, you keep your efforts here. Support yourself and build yourself up strong so that your hand will not be like that. Your hand will be like that one day. And that's the honor, so says our prophet, prayers and peace be on him. That's the honor, being able to do that to somebody else. And then help bring him up. Praise be to Allah. So this is what I want to see. I want to see the community, Muslim community continue to have an interest in the outer community, grow in the government, grow in the politics of this location, of this area, grow in business, support your good business people, form an association. You already have it. But I'm telling you again, because there may be some here that's not with you. Business people form an association that will not jeopardize the members of the club or the members of the association, but bring the members together so they can benefit from each other's resources. And I'm talking about most of all, the mental resources. Intellectual resources, brain resources, come together so you can benefit from each other's experiences and mental resources. You see? Because the knowledge that is missing in you, and perhaps even those working immediately with you, may be with another bearer belong to your congregation.
That's right.
When you all come together and share freely with each other, without charging each other things, benefiting mutually, you're having social interaction on a higher level than just entertainment and eating and dining. This is the more productive level of social interaction. And you're benefiting, multiplying growth. Much I would like to say to you, I could stand here and talk until this time tomorrow, and I won't finish. God knows it. But I have to go and you have to go. Thank you very much. May God forgive us our shortcomings and our sins. And grant us guidance, mercy and guidance always. Amen.
Yes, sir.